Hello and welcome to Tales from the Periphery, episode 14, with me, your host, Mike Whittaker. Back from UK Games Expo with, I'm recovered for the most part. Three nights in a strange hotel bed is never anybody's idea of fun, certainly not when you're my age. But a good time was had by all. We got there despite a few logistical snafus, which I'm not going to go into because they didn't ultimately affect everybody's enjoyment of the event. I think the only thing that was a little bit of a problem is that because we were in the events hall, some folks had trouble finding us, which was probably compounded by the fact that the events directory showed us as Tournaments 4.zz, with no mention of Catalyst or anything else, or Battletech. So, but anyway, lots of folks found us. The fluorescent green on black agent shirts probably didn't hurt. And a good time was had by all. Massive shout out to all the demo agents who turned up to lend a hand. I'm not going to list you all for the simple reason that I will forget someone because it's late at night on a Wednesday. Thank you to everyone who came and lent a hand, particularly the folks who were leading and organising the various games we had. High spots. I got to play Aces. Now, if you've not heard me mention Battletech Aces before, it is a version of Alpha Strike with a essentially card deck that drives the opposition force. It's written by the guys who did Heroes of the Aturi Cluster for Star Wars X-Wing. Yep. Which is in and of itself a really nice little game. We had a campaign at the club a little while ago, and basically it's the same thing. It's a card-driven smart semi-AI for the opposition, written by Josh Dirksen and his guys, who I might see if I can get on the podcast at some point, because he's a thoroughly nice chap, and he does appear to have written a really rather fabulous game. We were basically running it with one of us running the opposition force, which I think according to the scenario book was supposed to be Jade Falcon but was painted as Klein Ghost Bear, and all the players got to share out the eight inner sphere mechs between them. They were basically the contents of an Alpha Strike box split between the two forces. I think the only real problems we had were that it could probably have been set to run a little longer or with a slightly different scenario, because getting seven turns in that time when you're also explaining how the system works rather than simply just running it did slow us down a bit. And I think eight mechs between four people can get it's a little bit easy to suddenly discover you're down to one mech because the Timberwolf has taken out your light mech in its first turn. But other than that, it was great fun. We also drafted for war. Now, if you're not familiar with drafted for war, that's basically you pay for three salvage boxes, which in theory at least should be Merc's salvage boxes, and pick one, pass the two round to your left, pick one of the ones you're past, pass the remaining one round to your left, and then you juggle the points values of those by tweaking pilot skills and picking which variant you take to make exactly 140 points. And it's a fun little scenario on what I think is effectively a 2x3 table, which means you get stuck in straight away because you're playing across the width of it, so the world starts at medium range, just about. Very simple objectives, and as many turns as you can get in half an hour. It's very fast play Alpha Strike. And we had people ranging from experts to people who had literally never played Alpha Strike before. There were people that I'd literally given the 5-minute This is Alpha Strike briefing with the big show and tell Battle Master card 20 minutes before the event started, and one of them came second in the Saturday afternoon game. which I was quite pleased with. Yeah, sort of winning by proxy, or at least coming second by proxy. It's kind of satisfying that clearly I can actually teach AlphaStrike reasonably well. There was also a Mercs event using content from the not-yet-released Draconis Reach game, which I gather went well. I didn't actually have much chance to poke my nose in and look at it. There were some interesting forces. The winner, I gather, had a Valkyrie C and a Mauler 4R as his 3,000 BV force. All in all, it seems to have gone well. Tom Lovewell, who you may remember as a guest, was running a paint-and-play session for kids called Trial of Position, and grown-ups. Basically, you got to paint a mech and then get stuck in and have a short AlphaStrike scrap. And we also had Leviathans, which was being run by guest of this podcast, Andy Dickinson, Lorcan Nagel, and a couple of other folks. And again, seemed to go down well, given that we probably had the only Leviathans minis in the country. Other than that, what can I say? It was a good time was had by all. Absolutely knackered by the end of the day, mostly because my knees are generally not up to the amount of standing that is ideally required. I spent probably more sitting time than is reasonable for a demo agent, but you do what you can to survive. So that was UK Games Expo. I did take the opportunity to grab a few interviews with various of the CDAs who were doing various things. So for the next stretch of the podcast, I will let you have those so we can go into more detail on the various events. I'm here with Lewis and Tom from Hexperts, and also, more importantly, because they're wearing the bright green fluorescent t-shirts, Catalyst Demo Agents here at UK Games Expo. You guys have been running Aces.
Yes, I've
been and Tom, you've been running a bit of Aces, but you've also been running the Mercs stuff.
Yeah, so I was sort of triple hatting. I was only running Mercs on Saturday or yesterday, so I've been sort of helping Lewis with the Aces, which is good actually to skill myself up on it because it's the up and coming thing.
So what have you been doing? Let's start with the Mercs since we started with you. How's the Mercs been going? What have you actually run?
So what we did was a 12 person, 3 month contract. In a tournament style, so it was sort of pointed. Unfortunately, because it's Mercs, it can't be on a one-day event. It couldn't be as you would like it to be in a full 3 week thing. You can go home, get some new mechs, bring them back. So some changes had to be made, but the idea was to keep it as fair as possible for everyone, so you could kind of have a fun look at the new Draconis Reach Zosha 7 contract, which is 3 months long, and then you can also sort of see how the new missions go, because they've changed slightly with how objectives force you into engaging into the mission. So in the past, I think a lot of the feedback was that sometimes it would actually be better for you to come in and then immediately retreat.
And go, I'll have no part of this, I'll just sit here safely, claim whatever points I claim. And
so you claim half pay for turning up, but you wouldn't claim any pay for actually doing anything, but you wouldn't get injured. So if you're, if you're on the losing thing, actually turning up and just getting 250 on a normal contract, it works. But now they've introduced something called order objectives, which are sort of high priority. You cannot claim any pay unless you have at least done this. So it's for one where it's breakthrough, the attacker has to get across the halfway line. So it's
you at least have to show willing.
Yeah, it's like the way I'd probably describe it is similar to, we've played a lot of MechWarrior 5 Mercenaries, and sometimes you can fail contract the computer game. Sometimes you can fail contracts, but if you fail it in good standing, so like you at least tried, you aren't hit with a reputation negative.
Yeah, which seems entirely plausible. How have folks been finding it? Do you think it works as a tournament ish?
It worked yesterday. I sort of took ownership and sort of was grandfathered in about 3 months ago to sort of...
Been a lot of that around.
Yeah, to sort of oversee it. I was really happy with it. I did my best with it. Personally, I'm not a tournament organiser. I'm an event organiser. I really like running things that are really narrative, and I tried to make it as narrative as possible, but we had advertised it as a tournament, So it kind of had to be pointed and had to have winners and losers.
Yeah.
I hoped everyone that was there, we had some really good feedback on some of the missions, which I think we will be feeding back into the Catalyst team. You know, it's a bit late, I think, for Dracreach now, but in future, seeing how some of the missions may have been a bit sort of a little bit wonky on the balancing, but overall, it went pretty well.
I assume that a lot of that book isn't written with the idea that it's not. It was never written to be a tournament. It's written to be a narrative.
No, the other thing I noted is it's one of the only format we've had this weekend where people are bringing their own forces.
Yes,
has that been a problem at all?
No, absolutely not at all. So I kind of went on a bit of good faith. You know, I like to think the Battletech community doesn't really try and take the mick.
Yeah, it's something I commented on watching the Drafted for War thing, which I'm going to talk to Nathan about later. Yeah. That very much so, there's very few win-at-all-cost players in Battletech, as far as I can see.
Yeah, locally we really try and push the actually winning at all cost. You know, that's not the point. The point is to have a good game, or even if you're losing, to try and create a narrative around it. You know, sometimes in the books, cool things happen, but people lose, but it's still pretty, like, you know, you might lose.
There's a story in it.
There's a story, and it's, you know, oh, I lost here, but, you know, it wasn't a complete loss because I killed your commander. Or, you know, there might be.
Absolutely.
There's loads of reasons. So I wanted people to bring stuff that they wanted to play. I know the open format is quite popular on the tournament scene, but, you know, I'm not very well versed in it, and I know people.
I've made my opinions on it on the Discord very public indeed.
Yeah, there are positives and negatives, definitely. It's much more balanced.
Yep.
But it's very restrictive.
Yeah.
So I wanted it to be very open. I wanted people to be able to bring what they wanted. And, you know, I think that lends into the narratives, because we saw 12 very cool mercenary forces, some mechs that I'd never seen played before.
Yeah.
The winner, a guy called Sam, he's lovely. I talked to him on Friday, just, you know, came up to me and said, you know, can I just ask you about some stuff? And, you know, I had that a couple of times on Friday and just before the game on Saturday. People just wanted to check, which, you know, I really, really appreciated. But he took a Valkyrie and a Mauler.
Fun.
So the Mauler, obviously, much maligned, even by me. But he took the 4R variant, which is very nasty. And I don't know what Valkyrie variant he took, but they're two mechs that you wouldn't necessarily think of when you think
the tournament.
Of a tournament.
I mean, my force, if I'm bringing it, is going to be a Hunchback 2C.
Yes.
With two Ultra AC-20s.
Yes.
And a Blackjack 2 OA with two LRM-20s.
Yeah, so...
So basically you go punch holes in it with the with the Hunchback and then crit fish.
Yeah, so...
But the problem is the Hunchback's going to run out of ammo.
Yeah, so there's stuff like that, definitely. But we saw, you know, some very different strategies, which I thought was really cool. You know, one person, the guy that came in second, I think his name was Richard. Unfortunately, my brain's a bit fried.
There were too many Richards around.
My brain's a bit fried, so I can't remember everyone's name.
Join the club.
So Richard, I think the second guy, he brought no ammunition at all. He was all lasers.
Cool.
So actually, his strategy was, I don't need to refill my ammo at any point during this event. So he just brought lasers and actually saved a decent amount of money.
By not having to buy ammo.
And then the third guy, we called him Faux Nick because there was a second Nick, but I think his name's actually Doug from Lancaster.
I don't know why he was called, I don't know.
Yeah, he introduced himself as Nick, and then I was told later he was actually fake Nick. So, great. He came in third. And actually, I can't remember what he bought. It was a couple of strange mechs. I saw a Tai Sho, which I hadn't seen.
Someone who's actually found a copy of the McCarran's box.
Yeah.
Oh, not the Zhang Xion. It's a Tai Sho.
Tai Sho.
The one that looks like an egg.
It looks like an egg.
Oh right, yeah, that
it's
one.
The Capella one looks like an egg. Unfortunately, in the last game, that did fall over and get blown up.
Humpty Dumpty.
On a DFA.
I was going to say that.
DFA happened on it.
Oh,
and
no.
The egg was cracked.
It's nice to see a DFA in a tournament.
And not from Highlander.
Yes, it was from I want to say it was from something really small.
Yeah.
It was a very silly
bit. Seem to remember hearing the peripheral conversations about it, which boiled down to, screw it, I was going to die anyway.
Yeah, something to that effect. So it was pretty cool, to be honest, and you know, I'm looking forward to doing it in the future. I'm pretty sure it was a real good success.
Cool.
And I've waxed lyrical about it for quite a while now, but yeah, in the future, if Catalyst is coming to anything, just look to see whether a Mercs thing's going on. I'm in the future going to push for a more narrative thing, but if tournament is popular, tournament's what we're going to do.
Cool, fine. Then we had Aces.
Aces.
By God, that was fun.
Yes, Aces have been going on all weekend. Obviously, pretty sure if you're listening, probably know what ACES is, but ACES obviously is the currently, it's on Alpha Strike, it is the AI system of you or you and your friends versus AI.
Yep.
Obviously, Mike, you've been playing ACES.
I've been, I got shown it on Thursday night.
Yes.
And ran my first game for somebody else on Friday afternoon.
Yes. So,
and you've been running, I mean, you've been talking non-stop pretty much since
my voice is starting to go.
Mine's going as well. But
but obviously it's been great just running one of the missions from the introductory kind of box that we've been very kindly sent across. And it's been just been nice being able to run that for people, been going through Alpha Strike for some people, and
we've certainly had players that have never even played Alpha Strike. I've been breaking out the show and tell Battlemaster, as we call it, and showing people how Alpha Strike works. The last group I just had just now had two people who've never played Alpha Strike before, and they, between them and the other two, they basically won the scenario in four turns.
Yes, but that's pretty much coming back to what I was just about to say. Although we've just been running the same, for me, trying to keep it simple, I've said let's just run the same scenario.
Yeah.
Unless you're getting the same everyone again, might be like a bunch of friends come around again, and we would change the scenario up. I said let's keep the same scenario. But even though we've done that and everything's been starting in the same place, we moved the objective around. I've never seen a game that's been in the same.
No, absolutely not.
Which has been very impressive, and the AI, that kind of AI control deck has been doing things that have been interesting, been thematic, but also been quite unexpected sometimes. It's stuff that it's what it probably should do, but it's also been interesting for the players. So I've found it
making moves that I wouldn't have made.
Yes.
But I've looked at it and gone, you know, that's not stupid.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I've been quite impressed with it, and I know I think it's something I think I was keen on, but now after playing it more and getting a bit more of the handle, I think I'm even keen to.
Me too.
Yeah, because
yeah, absolutely.
I think
Tom, you've been doing the same, haven't you? Because you've been spelling us
all. He's on our obviously podcast. He's known as the hater of Alpha Strike, but has it won you round a bit?
I don't like Alpha Strike as a normal game, but I think as Aces, it works perfectly.
Oh,
it's the only way that I will play Alpha Strike going forward. I think Alpha Strike for me works best as a cooperative experience.
Yeah.
Because it's good for onboarding.
Yeah.
And you know, for new people or even people that just want to something a little bit less competitive, and that's, or something a little bit less gritty, which I think is what Alpha Strike is.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, and you know, I don't malign anyone that loves Alpha Strike. It's a game, you know, game for everyone. I'm happy if people are playing BattleTech, whichever way they are.
Yeah.
So you know, if that's Alpha Strike, if that's Classic, if that's Battle Force,
who cares an awesome universe.
All I will say is, if for some reason you're listening to this and you've never played Alpha Strike before, if you've ever played the game X-Wing, there was
Aces, you're talking about Aces.
Aces is made by the guy that released the free Heroes of the Artillery Cluster expansion, which is the same idea. It's card driven, you know, you've got AI in quotation marks TIE fighters flying around, and you've got you call rebel pilots doing stuff. So the guy that did that was brought on specifically because he's got the experience, he's done something great, and now he's, you know, I'm really happy that Catalyst have seen how talented this person is, and he's been brought on. So you know, for me, I've kind of had a 50% hit rate on people knowing what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
but I do.
But you know, I love Heroes of the Artillery Cluster. It you know, it really improved the lifespan of X-Wing
after the official
support left. And even now, I know people play it and still love it as a campaign system.
Absolutely.
And
we've had it down the club in the last couple of years.
Absolutely, it's so cool. And Aces is really cool on the same level. And the campaign system, the missions follow a similar structure. Depending on how you play in the missions, then leads you on to different pathways.
Yeah.
So even the campaign has replayability.
Because you won't do the same thing twice.
Absolutely thing twice. Not. If you run two groups with the same campaign, they'll have two very different endings potentially.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Cool. Right. Okay, which leaves one final question for both of you. What's the swag pile like from Expo? Have you bought anything?
Oh, yeah, I bought a couple of T-shirts. I've got a couple of patches for my jumpsuit, which is very sweaty these days.
Oh, yeah, I'm saying nothing.
Yeah, I'm not wearing it today, but it's been in the wash, so I'm slowly replacing some of the patches on it with some, like, you know, more kind of...
The right way up.
Yeah, the right way up, yeah. It was done last minute, but I have today just bought I think it's called From Ashes, which is a 15mm/1/100th Halo Ground Command successor.
Ooh, cool.
It's really cool. The models are super detailed, and the guys are based up in Nottingham, so hopefully in the future I'll be able to go up with some forces and play there. And you know, I'm such a hobby butterfly. Lewis will tell you this. I will do everything and nothing. So another game for my repertoire. Cool.
You had time to buy anything?
I've not even left the stand yet. Oh, so
dedication.
I might see shortly. We've got one more set of games. So if it's quiet, I might slink off
and see if anybody's not sold anything. Right. Thanks, guys. Ever so much. Super lovely to have you. We'll talk again at some point, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
Cheers, guys. I'm here outside of the very sci-fi surroundings of the back of Hall 4 at the UK Games Expo at the NEC with Irish demo agent Lorcan Nagel. What brings you over here, sir?
Airplane, basically.
How did I know I was going to get that answer?
Yeah. So I was over at Expo for the Catalyst booth last year, mm-hmm. and had a great time. And then Catalyst said they weren't going to be able to make it over this year, so I was like, okay, well, I'm out because I can't afford flights and hotel and everything like that. But then Arthur was able to say, no, we need you and Dwayne over. And so we were able to get a hotel in Catalyst Tab, and now we're here.
All right, son. And you've been mostly demoing Leviathans, I think.
Yes, all Leviathans, all weekend, same as last year.
How's that been going?
Up and down.
I mean, obviously, it's not Battletech, but I guess folks are going to be interested in it. Because it's cool.
Oh, it is an amazing game. I'm so glad that it's got a chance to come back. We didn't have like a massive uptake on it this year, unfortunately. But everyone who came over and gave it a shot really enjoyed it. And we had we were selling ticket events this year, and everyone who bought a ticket had a good time. We had a few people come over and got demos or joined in, and yeah, it's a game that it's very similar to Battletech in the decision space, in how You're maneuvering, you're reducing your enemy's abilities, you're like slowly whittling them down, and then like you get to that combat loss group, and you get to the point where it goes from we're doing okay to it's a disaster.
Yep.
But all the complexity is built into the game. You're just kind of, you're grabbing color-coded dice and you're rolling them together, and you total the numbers up, and that's it. And all the hard work is done for you.
I noticed that there's a sort of ship diagram for every ship.
Yeah. Every ship class has two or three different ship cards, and they're all named.
Right.
You can have multiples in the same game, and just you cross out the name and call it. It's the HML Bob instead of the HML Dublin.
Yep, obviously.
But they're both the same configuration ship. But the idea is that you've got all these different named ships that might be the same class, but every class of ship is a little bit different, or every ship in the same class is a little bit different.
Yeah, and Bryn seems to be on a single-handed crusade to sell as many D12s of varying numbering patterns as possible, as far
Absolutely.
As I can see.
Absolutely, yeah, it is. Each of the colored D12s is roughly a different side dice. So you've got D4s, D6s, D8s, D10s, D12s, nominally. But
there's a slight shift in the number balance to weight it one way or the other.
The D8s and the D10s have got, I think it's, like, there's a lower number and a higher number doubled on those cool. or tripled on those.
Cool, but it sounds like people have been really enjoying it. And I gather, I mean, sadly Andy had to go off because he's madly gone to see Kaiser Chiefs last night, was saying he's now replacing all his demo games that he was planning on running on shows with Leviathans for the rest of the year in the UK. So if you are at any of the UK shows that Andy Dickinson is at, and I will stick that list on the show notes, then you can have a try at Leviathans.
See, I highly recommend it.
Right, so what else do you do in the Battletech world?
For Battletech.
This is a Battletech podcast, true, so we true. Should talk about what you do in the Battletech world.
Well, I'm a moderator on the official Battletech forums. Mm-hmm. I'm a demo agent for Battletech, primarily in Ireland. So I run the Leinster regional tournaments. I run the Irish Nationals on off years with the guys in the gathering. Mm-hmm. I do some playtesting for Battletech. I write for Shrapnel, and I do pile cards for some of the force packs.
And you also do the summaries of Tuesday Newsday.
That is a good point, yes.
Yes, without which, as they say, my news section would be non-existent. We have actually, I ran into one of your gathering folks at the Bedford show. There was a young lady who's moved to Cambridge in September who name dropped you guys.
Yeah, yeah.
So obviously you guys get around by the sound of it.
Absolutely, yeah. Like the guys in the gathering have been flying the flag for BattleTech all across Europe for years. They do such a great job of it. Like Gary's a force of nature.
sort of like Arthur, actually, in some scary ways.
Absolutely, yeah.
Awesome, cool. Right, so and the last question that I've been asking everybody is, how's the swag count from visiting UKG? What have you bought?
I have bought exactly one thing.
Ooh.
And it was the Star Trek reskin of Star Realms.
Right.
Which, I'm a bit, I really love playing Star Realms. I play it on my phone all the time. It's one of those things that we kind of play at cons every once in a while. And I was going, I want a copy for myself. And there's a Star Trek version, so why not get that one instead of just having the generic artwork version?
Yeah, and you are so obviously, from conversations we've had over the last half an hour, a diehard old-school BBC TV sci-fi fan.
Absolutely, yeah.
Because, I mean, this is the most Blake 70, everything else surroundings. It's sci-fi pillars to the extraordinary.
It is,
place.
Yeah.
Anywho, it has been a pleasure. Glad to have you over.
Absolutely.
And hopefully we'll see you at the next one.
I'm planning to be back, yeah.
Either or I shall haul us over to Ireland and come join you guys.
Yeah, come to GaleCon. Come to the Irish BattleTech Championship. The Nationals are on, I think it's the 24th of September. It's a Saturday around then.
I will make sure those are in the show notes.
Perfect. I'll send you details.
Lovely job. Yeah. Thank you very much. UK Games Expo Hall 4 with previous podcast guest Tom Lovell.
Hi, Mike.
So, you've been busy keeping the kids amused, I think it's probably the best description, isn't it?
Big kids and little kids alike, yes. We've had the youngest was a lovely lass yesterday, aged about 6, and we've had adults with distinct levels of beard and grey hair. Generally, however, they get mocked for running away from the children as well. And
not me, I hasten to add.
No. You weren't playing and you weren't mocked, so...
There we go. What exactly have they been doing?
So, the trial of position is quite simple. Players, for their entrance, get a mech. So one of the salvage boxes. With that comes a pack of a bit of background, one of piece of artwork to colour in at the front. The back pages is cheat sheets for Alpha Strike, because you get Alpha Strike cards in the box, but also there is one of the record sheets for a game of Armored Combat, if you wanted to run that one. So whoever takes part can go home and play with whatever resources they can download, so can play a full game of either Alpha Strike or a game of Armored Combat.
And they get to paint it.
Well, once they've got that, we have half an hour painting session, then an hour and a half of game, and we've taken the basic rules of Alpha Strike in order to we're just going to wait for the little tractors to move away and be noisy in the background, I think so,
yeah.
So the gameplay, in order for it to last the full sort of hour and a half, players will be able to respawn if their mechs are destroyed, and there are objectives. So the three main ways of scoring is, number one, damaging and destroying opposing mechs. Number two, claiming objective points on the board. There are 5 points, one between each starting position and one in the centre of the board. And the third way is by having special missions. If you respawn because you've died, you lose a point.
Right.
So it's whoever gets the most points at the end of the game wins.
And how have the paint jobs been coming out?
The paint jobs have ranged from the Amazing Spider-Mech. We've had the Iron Mongoose. We've had someone who took a Lyran, 10th Lyran Guard inspired theme, but went half blue, half gold instead. So sort of a little more blinged up.
Cool.
We've had a silver and gold shiny mech who happened to win that game. One thinks its early reflective armor was involved.
I like it. That's cool. So the kids seem to enjoy themselves. From the couple of times I drifted past, there were lots of happy faces.
The kids
lots
have enjoyed...
lots of kids learning to do sums.
Yes, well, number one, I keep the sums simple.
Yeah.
Number two, I am the biggest idiot around the table, and that helps. And they laugh at me, and that, and critically...
And you're not actually a teacher, but close enough that...
I'm close enough to being a teacher, but also there's been a few adults involved, and they get picked on, and it's always fun to laugh at an adult.
Absolutely.
So that, cool. That tends to be the main bit. If you can laugh at an adult, you're on to a winner.
Absolutely. So... The question I've been asking everybody, what's the swag pile for the show look like?
The swag pile, for me personally, most of it's to be delivered because we've ordered a table.
Oh, as in big, expensive, nice, shiny wood gaming table?
A big, expensive can play battle tech on it and then put the lid on and have dinner afterwards kind of table.
Ooh.
Yes.
That it?
There's been a few others, but I mean, relatively speaking, everything else is less than
1%
of that.
Yes, quite.
I mean, table, yeah, most of it, yeah, we've bought a couple, got some gamers grass, got a couple of t-shirts and things, so yes, and I'm sure there's things that the wife and the son picked up when I wasn't around
looking,
that I'm not aware of yet. So.
Yes, but yes, proof positive that the demographic for Battletech is not all aging grey middle-aged men.
No, well, my son also took part in the Drafted for War today
as
well.
Yeah, I saw that, yes.
So I'm yet to find out how well he has done, but he did tell me, I won the last game, Dad, so he's not done bottom.
He was on the bottom table, so he's not last.
He's not last.
He may even not even be second last.
So we'll wait to see. Yes.
Awesome job. Thank you very much.
And no problem.
See you soon or next year. So, here I am, back outside in the sci-fi surroundings of the back of Hall 4. Still think it's very Babylon 5 or Blake 7 or something. And I have previous guest Sam and Nathan, both of whom have been doing all manner of fun things, but Nathan in particular has next to no voice, so I'll be kind to him, point the mic somewhere near him.
Yeah, I've been running Drafted for War most of the weekend, ably assisted by Sam, who also won one of them, but, you know, we don't like to talk about that bit. Yes, it's gone very, very well, as you can tell from my lack of voice.
So, give us an idea of the format.
Drafted for War, you book the event, pay your money. When you turn up, you get 3 salvage boxes.
For how much?
In this case, £20.
That's not bad.
3 brand new salvage boxes, Mercs, this event at least, Mercs, Legendary 2 and 3...
Right, after yet another interruption from the NEC Refuse Collection team, £20,
3 salvage boxes, we've had 4 sittings, each of 8 players, it's about a 2.5 to 3 hour event really, you've got about a half hour set up to start where you get your boxes, you look in your boxes, you decide which one of your boxes you want to keep.
Uh-huh.
In this case, a little bit more complicated than it might be because we had vehicle salvage boxes, battlefield support boxes. So you've got to decide, do you want to keep both vehicles and keep that box or pass both vehicles and that box on? Once you've done that, once you've decided on which box to keep, pass 2 to your left of a player on the left, you'll get 2 from a player on your right. Choose which of those 2 you want to keep, pass the remaining 1 on. You've now got 3 boxes, possibly 3 or 4 units, if you've been lucky enough to get a vehicle box, and you put together 140-point Alpha Strike army out of that.
Which obviously requires a bit of points juggling.
Yeah, you've got to do points juggling. The Legendaries did make that little awkward in places, because there's some very high-skill,
There's
high
things there with
characters.
Skill 0, yeah.
Oh, yeah. A lot of bounty hunters at Skill 0.
You 108-point units, but hey, we
so,
can work
so
this
what
out.
Did you get when you drafted?
When I first drafted, my first draft was 2 vehicles, Behemoth and a Manticore.
Right.
And then I open my second box and I pull a Bane, and I'm sitting there with my head in my hands going,
I can't afford this.
What do I keep? Because I love both of these things. Kept the Behemoth and won.
Cool. And victory conditions?
Victory conditions are quite simple in game. First one is kill anything. Kill everything, for preference. Second possible victory condition is what you've got left on the table and anything of your opponents that you've crippled.
Right. Crippled as in half, force withdrawal.
Half structure.
Yeah.
No medium long range fire, immobilised. And the third is a reward for your faster units and your cheap chaff, like a skill 7 off scout.
Oh, that's taking the Michael a little, isn't it?
Someone
had one, someone did that. Brilliant. And if you get a unit in your opponent's board edge, within 2 inches of your opponent's board edge, you get a tally mark.
Right.
In the end phase of the turn. So don't
get
shot.
If it survives.
Total up tally marks at the end. Whoever gets the most in that has won that victory condition.
So how'd you both feel it went?
Brill.
Yeah. Everyone enjoyed it.
I picked up. I mean, I was running sort of roving Alpha Stroke Troubleshooter and actually did someone's draft because they were late at one point. Certainly the vibe I picked up is that nobody's in sort of win at all cost mode.
No, absolutely not. There was a hilarious one where someone managed to be very unlucky and pull a MASH unit out of their salvage box and decided to use that as a mobile spotting unit.
Oh, did
for
they?
The LRM carrier.
Brilliant.
It may not have worked that well, but they went for it anyway, and good luck to them.
We should add, since I was there and watched that, this was Tom Lovewell's young lad, in fact, on suggestion from his father.
So, yep, Tom, that one's on you, mate.
Yeah, that was fabulously fun. So, you both survived UK Games Expo, although Nathan in particular appears to be not going to talk for the next week.
Yeah, this was a bad point to try and do the podcast.
Yeah, well, you went away for Sunday. I can't legislate for that.
I was worse this morning.
The question I've been asking everybody, what's the swag pile look like?
I don't know yet.
Meaning what?
I don't know what.
You haven't been shopping?
No, I've had a grand total of about an hour's worth of time to walk around and shop.
Bought precisely nothing?
No, I got my two girls a nice little 3D printed animal each, and I got me some stuff from Leisure.
Of the Catalyst Games persuasion?
Yes, indeed.
See, there was stock here, folks.
Yes, there was. We've left it till the last minute for us buying stuff to try and make sure punters get hold of it.
Yeah.
Because
awfully neighbourly of you, sir.
We've got a lot of stuff.
Yep.
You know, we want you guys to get out there and buy stuff and play Battle
Now, Set. Sam, I know, has a slightly larger swag pile.
Yes, I bought more than I should have, less than I could have. However, what I did end up purchasing was some very nice Galforce 9 Hextech battle mats. I picked up a couple of bits from Leisure Games and Travelling Man, including Copley Battletech Universe. I did detour away from the Catalyst stuff somewhat and may have spent some significant amount of money with Mantic buying Halo Flashpoint, but that's another story. Thank you for another plastic crack addiction, Shadowblade.
Yep. So I think I'm probably doing fairly well at this, and that I just bought a set of the AK paint pens, which was £80, but that's because I am a shit painter with a brush, and they help.
They do look good.
I second that remark. Yeah. And resemble Lovely. That remark.
Right, it's been a pleasure, guys.
Right, thank you very much.
See you back at the next one, I guess.
Yes, hopefully so. See you now all next year.
So apologies for some of the sound quality on some of those recordings. They were recorded out the back of the hall we were in, occasionally interrupted by a little man on a tractor-hauled refuse truck who seemed bound and determined to come by every time I started recording. And also, of course, they were recorded outdoors on a single iPhone. But we do the best we can under the circumstances. My thanks to all my guests there. Hopefully that gave you an insight into what went on at the expo. And hopefully we'll see more folks there next year, when hopefully Catalyst will be along as well. There's a little thing I wanted to cover in this week's episode before I get on to the directory updates, and that's buying from overseas. Now, as you're probably all aware by now, because I grumble about it enough, the UK stock levels aren't actually brilliant. And particularly the newer stuff seems to take its own sweet time to get here as well. So there's a couple of folks who I'm going to give a little bit of a plug to that you can use for your purchases without too much financial risk, if you don't mind the delay, and they're usually very well priced. First off, we have Sci-Fi Trader, which is run by Sven in Germany. It's sci-fi-trader.de. He tends to get things in fairly soon after they appear in the States. His postage is reasonable, and he delivers from Germany through to the UK. I'm not quite sure what the duty and tax position is on his stuff, and frankly, I'm not sure I want to ask. But I've had some really good stuff out of him. I did buy the last two lots of Elementals in Europe, as far as I can tell, off him a couple of months ago. And in general, nice bloke. The demo team are very grateful to him for reasons I won't go into. And he's definitely one worth having a look at. The other guys are Fortress Miniatures and Games, who are based in the US. Now, you might think, oh my god, why would I want to do that? Well, they are UK VAT registered, as far as I can tell. Their prices are ridiculously reasonable. Most of the 4 mech lance packs are 18 quid once you actually register with a UK account. And because they're registered for tax, then your purchases are taxed at source. Now, what I've typically found is that 4 lance packs plus 20% VAT plus postage works out around about 110 quid. Which is pretty reasonable compared even to the likes of Xatu for postage and UK prices. The only things to be aware of are if your price goes over £135, including postage, you will be liable for UK import duty. Now, I have not actually ever done this, but I believe, and hopefully someone can confirm this, that if you do, then the import duty is also extracted at Fortress's end, and you don't get a nasty surprise when the parcel turns up with to pay on it or gets held at customs until you can find a credit card to waive it, whoever they're using as a courier. Now, this is something I've done quite a bit of late, because it's where I've been picking up things like the McCarran's Armoured Cavalry and the various Davian Lances. They will take about 2 weeks for stuff to get to you, but that's probably still less time than it's going to take for the shipments to arrive in the UK for Asmodee to pass on to everybody else. So, if you find either of those useful, then best of luck to you. I certainly have. Time for the new directory entries. We've got 3 so far, and I'm probably expecting a few more as new listeners drift in. First off, Stags Wargames Club in Telford. Run games on alternate Friday evenings and alternate Sundays, and they have a small BT group. Now, there's an email address on the website and a Facebook page, and I've been talking to Stuart Harris in Facebook, and if you contact them, I'm sure they will be able to tell you which alternate Fridays and Sundays and what they're playing. Next up, we have Level Up Gaming in Bournemouth. Picked this one up through Sam Hall. I don't have any more details, but I'm sure if you ask in store, you'll be able to find out when and where the Battletech group meet. Similarly, Entoyment in Poole. Again, one I got through Sam Hall. I don't have any more details as yet. So if you are connected with either of the last two and you'd like to give me an update, please do. And if you find out for any other reason, again, give me an update. So, as ever with these things, if you have events or you have clubs, stores, etc. that play Battletech that you want featured on the directory, drop us a line at info@talesfromtheperiphery.org.uk, and I will see that not only do you get an update, but you get a mention. One new event, as mentioned by Lorcan in his interview, is the Battletech Irish Nationals, Carlton Hotel, Dublin Airport, Saturday the 13th of September. Early bird tickets, €25. Painting competition entry fee, €5 per mech. Posting the pairings and a little guidebook soon. Watch this space. A couple of other minor updates before we close. I am hoping to get a couple more guests on over the course of the next month or two. One of them will be Ed from By the Same Token, who are a really lovely little company that produce a whole bunch of tokens for all kinds of games. He came and sat in on one of the Aces games at UK Games Expo, and they are planning to produce a very nice looking range of Battletech tokens. Again, more when I have it. Also, I'm hoping to talk to the guys from Leisure Games at Finchley, as they are talking about ramping up their Battletech quite considerably. So if you're in the London area, then that is probably one worth keeping an ear out for. Other than that, not a lot more to say. I will be getting the details up, including the play pack for Periphery Assault, over the next couple of weeks. I'm a little bit snowed under with the recordings queue for both this podcast and my other podcast for now, but as soon as that clears, I will sit down and get everything up so the folks can come along and sign up. There's also a possibility that we will be running an all-day game in Peterborough at the beginning of July. Again, watch this space. I'm just about to go and dig through the spare polystyrene board stash to see if we've enough boards to build the table. Other than that, I think that's it for this time. I really need to go to bed in my nice comfy own bed again, and hopefully I will talk to you when the next episode comes out. Until then, as ever, have fun and roll good dice. Tales from the Periphery is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 4.0 international license. In short, give us some credit, don't make money out of it, and if you make an adaptation of it, you must share it under the same license. Have fun!